Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals find insights and inspiration for success. My name is Brianna Larimer, business trainer and consultant with Missouri Training Institute, and with you, the wonderful and fabulous and amazing Missouri Training Institute team. So our topic today, accountability. And I will tell you, this seems like such a complex idea. And Ray, when I first started with MTI, I sat in one of your accountability trainings and it made it so simple.
Oh, so good.
So tell me, in your definition, and do we toss into this as well, but what is accountability and why does it seem so much bigger than it really is?
Well, I think we think it's hard because oftentimes we don't have it. So we think, well, if it was easy, we'd have it. But I think when we think about accountability for leaders, I think we need to realize that accountability is, it's results focused, it's outcome based. So for leadership, it really is starting at the end and focusing on what we want out of it and communicating then the expectations up front, which a lot of times as leaders, we tend to be focusing a lot on what we need them to do,
right?
Not on where we need them to end up.
Okay, I got to tell a funny story about it. Illustrates this point just perfectly.
Perfect.
So my daughter, when she was a teenager, I felt that she could probably help out mowing the lawn. Okay. And so that's what I did. I asked her to go mow the lawn. Right. And so I was just like Ray said, I was focused on what she was going to be doing. I was not focused on the outcome because I got to tell you, she mowed the lawn all right. And she also mowed around the bike that she left in the yard. she mowed over the trash that was in the yard into littler pieces. You know, when I said to her, you know, I want you to mow the lawn, I was expecting to come home with a nice manicured lawn, grass clippings off the sidewalks, but that's not what I ended up with, right? And that was my own fault because it was an expectation that that I didn't clarify for her.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't know what that really meant.
Really, Dewey, she was just trying to get out of having to mow the yard anymore.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably, but I always got to look at myself first before I just automatically blame, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I realized that it was probably a lot with me more than it was her.
Right.
Because I did not describe for her what that outcome, what the result was that I was looking for.
Right. And we know, you know, as leaders, the hardest expectation to meet is the one that's never set, right? The one that nobody knows about.
Right.
We might have it in our head exactly what we want it to look like. However, people aren't mind readers. You know, and when I think about, you know, getting the job done, I don't know how many people these days know what a jigsaw puzzle is, but back in the day when we used to do jigsaw puzzles, you know, we'd take the box lid off and we'd dump them out, all the pieces out onto the table. And the very, very first thing that anybody would do is they'd set that box lid up, right, with the picture on it. The very first thing people would do. And I, you know, why would we do that? Because we wanted to know what it's supposed to look like in the end.
Right.
Right. Then what's the very next thing we do? We pick out all of the pieces with the straight edge, right? And so that says, okay, here's now the boundaries, right? We're going to work within these borders. And so we'd establish those boundaries. And so when I pose this, you know, little experience to leaders, I'm like, this is how we start, right? This is how we set those expectations when we think about holding our employees accountable. And a lot of times we use the same language. We talk about accountabilities, we talk about responsibilities the same. but they aren't. Right? Responsibilities are task focused. Mm-hmm. Accountabilities are results focused. And we just have to remember that people can't read our minds as leaders. So we've got to do what Dewey was talking about and really communicate those expectations very clearly. And a lot of times we've got to come back to them, mm-hmm. right? And we've got to re-communicate and we've got to clarify. But we also have to remember there are borders, there are straight edge pieces that we have to make sure are there.
Mm-hmm. Why is it so hard to hold employees accountable as a leader?
My perspective on that is because I think leaders are more worried about what their employees think about them than they are about the accountability themselves. Relationships are very important. And so we worry, we kind of overcompensate, because if I have to redirect that behavior and I haven't built the relationship that allows for that accommodation, now I'm in trouble, right? As a leader.
Right. I think that's why it's so difficult for a lot of leaders is, look, when you're holding somebody accountable, this sometimes requires some difficult conversations, and maybe not even difficult ones, but, you know, just you got to sit down and you probably have a difference of opinion here. Right. And so I think that's oftentimes they don't hold people accountable because they're too afraid of maybe damaging the relationship to a point where it's going to be even more difficult. But by withholding that information, though, you're not doing this employee any favor, right? Because then they're thinking that I don't have to be accountable. They're not looking for that accountability.
Or what they're already doing is fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're not saying anything. Mm-hmm. And so in your own head, you haven't built a relationship up where correcting or redirecting feels comfortable. You haven't set the expectation. Mm-hmm. So they don't know that what they're doing is not correct. And since you're not redirecting the behavior, they're assuming that what they're doing is correct.
Right.
So
no news is good news, right?
Carry on.
Yeah. No news is good news.
Absolutely.
And when we're really looking at this in the workplaces, I'm curious then, like, how do leaders identify if there is an accountability problem there?
Well, I think that one's an easy one. And it just goes right back to what Ray was saying. You look at the results, right? Mm-hmm. They're not achieving results. You know, they might be busy and they might be crossing T's and they might be dotting a lot of I's, but they're not getting the outcomes that we're expecting of them.
Right. I think, they're not doing the right things, mm-hmm. right? They're not meeting those deliverables. Maybe there's a lack of trust.
Could be.
That could be going on because they're not communicating openly and honestly. I think there's a lot of siloing that might be happening. To me, the best kind of accountability is peer-to-peer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? But
that's interesting that you bring that up, because when we talk about marrying trust with the idea of accountability, I think that's what's so cool. If you are a leader of a team that really has done the hard work of trusting and earning each other's trust, then as the leader, you don't have to be the bad guy all the time. You know, you don't have to be the one calling people out, because their peers start to call. They hold each other accountable for their outcomes and how they're working with one another.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you have to show that behavior. You have to be an accountable leader. And so when you think about holding your team accountable, if you're not accountable, right? And so when I think about what an accountable leader looks like, you know, that accountable leader is going to be the one that's like, I screwed up. You know, yeah. I mean, they're going to admit mistakes. They're going to be the first one to, you know, say, hey, I promised this and this is what happened. Or, you know, so they're going to be demonstrating those behaviors as well.
Absolutely. Well, you know, setting an example, right?
Yes, always.
I think when we're looking at some of these, you know, I think sometimes just trying to figure out those practical and applicable strategies for accountability is maybe difficult for some leaders. So what are some suggestions you'd have in that area?
Well, one, I think to start off with is having regularly scheduled one-on-ones or team meetings where we're talking about results, right?
Yes.
And it can't be just, oh, Ray, I need to see you in my office in 5 minutes and I haven't talked to her for the last 3 months, right? it's got to be regularly scheduled conversations so that you're kind of starting to build that rhythm. So your folks know exactly, you know, when we meet, this is kind of what the things are that we're going to be discussing. These are the and we're going to be focused on results. We're going to be focused on outcomes, right? But it's regularly scheduling those kind of conversations. You know, it's so funny because I've when I do training, especially like coaching training or for supervisory training and things like that, people always ask questions like, "Dewey, I've got this one employee that does X, Y, and Z," and then the next session will go by and somebody say, "Dewey, I've got this employee that does A, B, and C," and they often want a step-by-step approach about how to solve all their problems. And inevitably, the answer is the same. And that is, you got to talk to them, right? You got to sit down and you got to have conversations with people, right? You got to have meaningful conversations about the work, the progress to the work, what's going well with it, what's not going well with it, and how are we going to move forward?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's interesting you say the conversation piece, because right now I think we're all in such a virtual state that sometimes we forget to just pick up the phone. If you're working in that remote or that hybrid environment, you know, maybe it is going to the coffee shop and having a sit down in person conversation, but it can't be just via email or just via instant message, you know, when we're trying to have a conversation. And I, unfortunately, we all kind of get in that mindset. It's what's easiest for us, maybe as leaders, it's just what can I do quickly enough, but it's not going to necessarily get the results that you want.
Right. Right. I agree. I think anything, you know, two things. First of all, never try to solve a problem via email. Mm-hmm. never, you know, that should just be the first rule. The second one is, especially if it's going to involve emotions, you know, and so if you're needing to have a difficult conversation, you know, right there, it's going to involve emotions. So you're definitely off of email. And if you're going to try to solve a problem, you're definitely off of email. So Brianna, you're so right. It needs to either be in person or via, you know, Teams or something where at least, or in, you know, where you can see each other. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you just start it with a question, you know, tell me how work on A, B, and C project is going, you know, create that cadence. You know, you start with what they're working on. You go to, you know, how is it going? And then what's the plan to get back on track? I mean, you don't even need to, you know, you ask them what's happening, right? Just start that cadence and you can have the same three questions each time. And the next time you meet, you start with what they were going to do to get back on track becomes now, where are you with this? And what's next? And where are you going to go from there? And then the next time you start with that question again. And they become familiar with how this conversation is going to roll every single time. And before you know it, they're going to start telling you without you even having to ask. But it's about creating that cadence.
Right. But I love what you're talking about here, Ray, because it's about, as the leader, you're not telling people a bunch of things. You're facilitating. You're asking really good questions, getting people to think for themselves about what it is they're doing, how they're getting there, what their progress is, and then, like you said, how to kind of get back on track.
Yeah.
And it's not even necessarily how to get back on track all the time. I think about our conversations, sure, right, that we have every other week. We do our production team meetings every other week before our staff meetings. And a lot of times it's, okay, you ask me, what do you need from me to support you in that? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's part of the accountability, but it's not because we've been off track. It's
right.
Just what else do we need? Because I can see all the stuff you're working on, or, you know, we are on track.
Yeah. Trust me, she's never off track. No, trust me. No.
So I certainly think that there's that element, you know, of making sure that your folks know that you're in it with them too. It's not just here's my expectations, here's what you need to do to get back on track. Even if you come to your own ideas, it's I'm here to support you through this as well.
Yeah.
Like I want to see us succeed overall as a team.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that there are certain responsibilities that we as employees need to kind of hold ourselves to. It can't just be waiting for those conversations, you know, with your supervisor, the accountability conversations or the feedback conversations. It's you got to take some of the onus on yourself. And I think the first thing you need to do there is know what's expected of you.
Sure.
You know, and what your role is, what your responsibilities are in that role. And so as much as your supervisor can set those expectations for you, you can also be proactive in asking if it's a new job or if maybe things have changed, maybe we've let go some people and now we're absorbing different responsibilities. Start kind of understanding what your new role is going to look like yourself.
Right. You know, I want to go back to that jigsaw puzzle analogy, because if you've ever put together a jigsaw puzzle, I don't care if it's a, you know, 5,000 piece puzzle or if it's a 10 piece puzzle, if you don't have that last piece, do you know how frustrating it is? Like you get no sleep without that last piece. And to me, every single employee is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because every single employee matters.
Right.
Right. And so if that piece of the puzzle is each employee, they're important to the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And how you can lose sleep if that one employee, you know, that piece of the puzzle is not in place or is missing. And so you're right. You know, it's important for them to know that they're important. You know, the work's important, but they're important to the work. And so you've got to be able to communicate that. But what Brianna is saying is you as the employee have to know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so making sure and reinforcing that between the boss or, you know, the leader and the employee is very important.
I think it's also good advice to set yourself aside sometimes, you know.
Here, and I'm telling you to, you're important. You're like, set your pride aside, you know.
Because it's great to hear that. But at the same time, we need to know as employees when maybe we're not performing what we know we should be performing at, when we're not holding ourselves accountable, when we've slacked in different areas. We have to be honest with ourselves, you know, and not making excuses for, you know, why we are where we are. And I think that does require really setting ourselves aside a little bit and just owning it. You got to own it. So a lot of times, you know, we're putting a lot of pressure on the supervisors and the leadership, you know, to say, you know, be willing and vulnerable to say when you've messed up or when you're sorry. But we have to do that as employees as well. That's part of self-accountability, mm-hmm. is to own it, say you're sorry when you need to be sorry, but fix it, right? Don't just give it lip service. Actually hold yourself accountable and fix it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll take the other side of that as a leader in saying, you know, when you have an employee that is trying to own it, I think there's support in that.
Mm.
Because if I want her to own it again, or especially if she's owning it in front of the team, I've got to make sure that I recognize that for other people. You know, and be mindful not to throw her under the bus, and water that, recognize it in a professional and supportive way, because I want other people to step up to the plate, you know, so that they'll learn to own it like she does.
Right.
You know, the other thing is I want to make sure, let's say if she wasn't there, that, you know, I wouldn't say, well, you know, Brianna is the one who dropped the ball. You know, if she's not there to hear that, you know, because then people are like, wow, she's, you know, she's talking about Brianna and she's not even at the meeting today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got to be mindful of those things. Now I throw Dewey under the bus, you know, but I say that, you know,
I
talk about Dewey to his face or otherwise. No, everybody knows I love Dewey. I'd say it whether he was there or not. So anyway, no, it's always good. It's always good, Dewey.
Well, we are fortunate because we have such a small but mighty team. If you haven't watched that episode, another podcast.
We're very lucky.
We are.
Very.
We are. You know, I guess when we're thinking about this, and I want to go back, the specific conversations themselves, I guess, when we're thinking about supervisor to employee, are there tips that you would give leaders for having those accountability conversations?
Yes. I mean, I think that there's lots of things that we could kind of talk a little bit about here. Number one is you got to know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's not hearsay. It's not rumor. Remember what we're talking about with accountability is outcome based. It's right. And so you got to have the data there to support it. It's not about, you know, an employee coming to tattletale on somebody else and then you're going, oh, I'll take care of it. You go, you know, no, it's about maybe sitting down and asking this person, you know, where are we at with this and get from their perspectives where they feel their level of accountability is with this particular work task or this particular project. You know, the other things I would probably say is don't try to bite off too much at once. Mm-hmm. Sometimes having more regularly scheduled conversations with employees, addressing one or two things at a time is probably going to be a little bit better than sitting down and having a 4-hour marathon accountability conversation with somebody.
Yeah. 10
things I hate about you. They might remember the first, they might remember the last, but they're not going to remember anything in between. Right. The other thing that I would kind of think about with this particular is to focus on consequences of accountability. You know, if you're not meeting the outcomes, you're not meeting the results, how does that impact the rest of the team? How does that impact the rest of your organization, your results organizationally? So that, you know, sometimes I think people don't realize that they really contribute to a big picture of the organization's results. And they don't get that, you know, they see that what they're doing really doesn't matter. I'm just one little person. Well, you're one little person though, that you are more than just that cog in the wheel. Without you, this whole process breaks down, right? So it's kind of helping them see the bigger picture of them meeting the accountability or not meeting their accountability. So those are just three off the top of my head.
Yeah, you know, and Dewey's a good example. He holds these difficult conversations far better than I do. He talked about, you know, have the data, have the evidence. So you can plug in whatever the behavior is that you need, but this is how I have to start. You know, so I might say, oh, hey, you know, that project was due on Thursday. It's Friday. And I don't seem to have that. Help me understand what's going on. So, you know, whatever the deadline was, whatever the outcome was, and it was not met, help me understand that. That's in my little brain how I have to do it or how I approach it. And then I just plug in my formula, whatever it is. That way I don't look like I'm blaming, shaming, judging. I've got the evidence there and I give them a way out. Maybe it was like, I missed the email. Maybe it's on me, or maybe they have an opportunity to remind me, oh, remember, you know, Maria was going to take that on. I was like, oh yeah. So that just gives them an opportunity to help clarify in me, right? And so
you're not jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, it just kind of gives a safe space to start the dialogue, right? And that for me is how I've learned to start that.
Yeah.
And then we get to move on from there.
But again, going back to that idea of facilitation, you know, so you're asking the questions.
Yes.
You know, another thing that I would encourage leaders to do is to have your employees, when you're having these kind of conversations, facilitate what success looks like. You know, because if I come in and say, you need to get project X, Y, and Z done, and somebody thinks they're going to be successful by doing it once, I think they'd be more successful if they'd get it 100 times. There's a big disconnect there, right? Between what you think success, what this employee thinks success is, and what I think success is. So, you know, starting by asking them, you know, what does success look like with this? You know, what are the outcomes that you think we really need to achieve here? The results we really need to achieve here. And they come back and say, oh, I think we'll be great if we get this done by, you know, 3 years from now. And I'm like, well, I don't think we can take that long. I think it needs to be done in 6 months. So, you know, it starts that negotiation process off, you know, and I'm not suggesting that leaders always have to be the ones to set the how you're going to measure it. You know, I think the more that you can involve your employees in that to help you to define what success is, I think you build more ownership in it, which makes the accountability then a lot easier.
Sure. People are more committed to what they help create.
Absolutely.
So I know in a previous episode, we've talked about feedback. And now I want to, I guess, just to clarify for our listeners, how does feedback and accountability kind of go hand in hand? How do they work together? What's the difference, I guess, between an accountability conversation or feedback?
Well, you know, feedback can be lots of different things. And I would probably say you're probably providing a lot of feedback as you are holding people accountable, okay, as you're having these kind of conversations. But just because, you know, some people might really get great results. You know, they are getting the outcomes that we're looking for, but maybe they have a really bad approach in getting them. So even though they're being held accountable to the standards that we've set, right, because they're getting those great outcomes, their approach and how they're doing that might need a little tweaking once in a while, right? So, you know, I can offer people feedback on all kinds of things. Mostly when I offer people feedback, it's about their behaviors. It's about their choices they've made. It's about maybe how they responded to something. I could be a really disgruntled employee and still get results, but I'll doing it, complaining the whole way there, right? So even though they're being held to a high standard of accountability, because that's based on results, how they're doing it might not necessarily be so appropriate, right? You have anything you'd like to add to that?
I would agree. And again, feedback is good, bad, or otherwise. I mean, we're right, constantly having those types of conversations, hopefully, right? Not just if they're achieving or not achieving.
Right.
Yeah.
As we kind of wrap up here, then I'd just like to, any other thoughts, comments related to leaders holding their employees accountable?
Just really thinking about communicating those expectations up front, investing in your people, making sure you have those good relationships, you know, taking care of them so that they will take care of the work. You know, accountabilities are results-based and outcome-based, focused on that, not the task itself.
And get in a rhythm of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Have these kind of conversations regularly, both in a team environment as well as one-on-one.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us for this episode of The Weekly Workplace.
Go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.